listeners to KVSC know that as an independent public radio station, we represent a wide variety of diverse programming. From hip-hop to country and from rock and roll to jazz, a listener will be able to find numerous genres of music and songs not available elsewhere on the radio dial. There is one form of music, however, that is not regularly heard on KVSC. It's not that we don't like it, it's just that there are other public radio stations whose sole purpose is devoted to this genre, and they certainly cover it quite well. This is a genre that dates back hundreds of years and is the foundation for the music that we all enjoy today. I am, of course, talking about classical orchestral music. While some orchestral arrangements might be obscure to the average listener, other pieces, especially those associated with the holiday season, are quite familiar. KVSC's role as a community radio station means that we celebrate the treasures within our community, and when it comes to classical music, St. Cloud certainly has a hometown treasure, the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra. Please join me over the next half hour or so as we speak with St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra Executive Director Sandy Nidau, orchestra members Mark Springer, Terry Vermillion, and Patrick Thorne. Hear a little music from the orchestra's upcoming holiday performance this Friday evening at St. Cloud State's Ritchie Auditorium, and learn how everyone can experience and participate in the joy of music that the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra brings to our community. I'm first joined by Sandy Nidau, the executive director of the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra. Thank you for sitting down with me today, Sandy. Let's see, the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra, how long has St. Cloud had a symphony orchestra?
St. Cloud has had a symphony orchestra for over 35 years. Our first concert was in 1976. So we have had a long and successful history here in St. Cloud.
So how many members are in the symphony orchestra currently?
Well, our membership is at about 75 or 80, and depending on what music we're playing, that dictates how many people are actually on the stage at any one time. In May, when we are doing Beethoven 9, we will have a very huge orchestra and a choir of at least 150, so the stage in Ritchie Auditorium will be quite full. This season, all of our concerts are in Ritchie Auditorium, and we're grateful to St. Cloud State University for their hospitality and their support.
Can you tell us a little bit about who makes up the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra? Where are they from?
Sure. The orchestra members come mostly from central Minnesota. We have people who commute from Painesville. We have people who commute from the cities, from Robbinsdale, from Bloomington, from all over, and they just kind of converge on St. Cloud and St. Cloud State University and perform. The age of our musicians ranges from, gosh, we have some members who don't drive to some people who are in their upper 80s. People who have just been with the orchestra their whole entire musical careers. So it really is a varied group. And a great number of our musicians have doctorate degrees in music, and some other musicians, music is their hobby. So we really have a wide range of members in every aspect.
This Friday, the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra has a performance. Sandy, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
This Friday's performance really is dedicated to the community. For the last couple of years, we have not done solely a Pops, Holiday Pops concert. And I've gotten letters and phone calls and emails and requests for Holiday Pops, and so we are bringing it back in a big way. We have Carolyn Finley and Dwayne Anderson who are going to sing a duet on Baby, It's Cold Outside. We're going to do a holiday sing-along where the whole entire audience gets to sing their favorite Christmas carols, the Nutcracker Suite, the Overture to Hansel and Gretel. And, of course, it wouldn't be a St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra Holiday Pops concert without Sleigh Ride. So it's just going to be a wonderful family-friendly event. Bring your children. There is a pre-concert lecture at 6:30. Santa's going to be here also at about 6:30. He will arrive, and if you want to have your picture taken with Santa, we can accommodate that. And please feel generous and bring some toys for our Toys for Tots boxes. So we have a whole full gamut of activities on Friday night.
How about the upcoming 2010 season? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
In February, we'll be doing a concert of dance music. We'll be doing bolero, which is a piece of music that I've been asking to have the orchestra play for many years, and finally somebody listened to me, so that's good news. We will also have two flamenco dancers, two professional flamenco dancers dancing on that concert, and the whole entire concert theme is around dance music. So it's going to be very exciting. We've never really had dancers with the orchestra before. And of course, in May, we will feature the winner of our Young Performers Competition, which happens in March. So on that May 1st concert, we will feature the winner of the competition, as well as we will be doing Beethoven 9, which is, for me, the ultimate classical music.
Now, many people are familiar with the Ode to Joy and some of these other pieces that you're going to be doing. Now, there certainly is something to be said about attending a live performance of a symphony instead of, say, just listening to it on vinyl or CD.
It's the three-dimensional opportunity. It's, you know, the sight, the sound, the emotion. It's seeing musicians up there really, you know, working hard to present an artistic piece of work. You know, you don't get that when you pop in a CD.
So that leads me to my next question. Why do you love performing music?
Oh, why do I love music? I love music because music has been an important part of my family for my whole entire life. My grandmother was a church organist. My father was a fabulous singer and played the trombone. My daughter is a music major. So music has just kind of woven itself in my life throughout my life. And I've seen the power of what music can do when we do our concerts and the auditorium is filled with nothing but fourth graders. I've seen that room be absolutely silent, and I've seen it explode into energy and enthusiasm. And music can do that. Music can communicate in a way that we can't with words. You know, St. Cloud is really lucky to have such a vibrant art scene. We have a lot of theater. We have a lot of music. We have just so many wonderful organizations that really allow a lot of people the chance to have that creative outlet. I see that really as an important part of the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra. Without us, all of those musicians on that stage would not have the opportunity to practice their craft, to show their creativity, to present what means so much to them, and that is the music. Our musicians are really special people. I can't say enough wonderful things about them. Last year when we took some unfortunate budget cuts, it was the musicians who came to me and said, you know, Sandy, I need the paycheck, but I need this orchestra more. And a great number of them donated their pay back to the orchestra, and that kept us going. So they are really pretty incredible, talented people, and they certainly humble me, and it's a great honor for me to work for them on their behalf.
Thank you for sitting down with me today, Sandra.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Talking now with Terry Vermillion from the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra. And Terry, what is your role with the orchestra?
My current role right now is as timpanist and kind of head and leader of the percussion section. I teach at St. Cloud State University here. I teach percussion studies, direct a percussion studies program. And my students then are often the percussionists for the orchestra. And so I work in preparing their music and getting them prepared for rehearsals and So my current role is coordinating all of everything that is the percussion section and then playing timpani. My other roles in the past have been as personnel manager, hiring people and communicating with the community and trying to attract people to the orchestra and working with lots of folks from a 30 to 50 mile radius and even into the Twin Cities to get them to come up here and join us. And the drive is convenient enough, and the opportunity and the experience they receive is sufficient enough and of high quality that they drive up here for, you know, the experience of playing this really great repertoire that many times won't get a chance to in the Twin Cities. Many of the orchestras in the cities, of course, in larger metropolitan areas, you have to pay to play. And there is a fee that's charged in order to be in the group. And, of course, that's to offset the cost of ordering music and whatnot. But the St. Cloud Symphony has enough connection in the community with St. John, St. Ben, St. Cloud State University, that they're able to acquire music and musicians. And it's a really fertile environment. And I believe this is why the orchestra has survived.
Speaking of survival, what do you believe orchestral music's role to be in the future?
Yeah, one of the major missions right now of the orchestra is to, and this is across the nation, is to involve more young people. And I think that classical music has been criticized and labeled as a music for, you know, blue hair, older generation. And there's no truth to that at all. Great music is great music. And whether you understand it, whether you can analyze it, doesn't matter. If you enjoy it, if you like the sound of it, if you love the sound of a beautiful oboe player, if you love the sound of French horns and trombones and percussion and the sultry, beautiful sound of the string section, it really doesn't matter if you know anything about the music. You don't have to have an education. You just have to come and enjoy it. So I think one of the major missions is to bring more college-age students into the group, also some very good high school students. The symphony right now has under its umbrella a youth orchestra, and so we have lots of high school players who are very fine players who are now playing in the orchestra. We have lots of college students from St. Cloud State's, also from the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University in the area, University of Minnesota. And Andrew Altenberg is working very hard with the orchestra to try and grow its youth players. And those are the players of the future, obviously, you know. And many of our principal players have been with the orchestra for 25 years, 20 years. I've been with the orchestra for 18 or 19 years. And at some point, obviously, the older players will move on.
Well, certainly a true community will recycle itself in some way. How does the St. Cloud Symphony go about doing this?
There's a young artist competition where we have local musicians competing, performing concertos, and we have a college-age division as well as a high school-age division. We have a piano division and a non-piano division. So we have piano players and violinists and clarinetists and trombonists and percussionists, everybody competing for an opportunity to perform with the orchestra, which is a fantastic opportunity for any young artist to have a chance to perform with an orchestra of our caliber and can very easily start a career, whether that career goes into graduate school for some of these musicians. They get to put on their resume that they've performed with a major symphony orchestra like this, and also on their resume that you know they're performing this concerto.
So, one more question, Mark. What is it about music that you love?
Why do I love music? I got attracted to music first because of the visceral response that my body receives when I play, the sound of the drums, the way it excites my my spirit, and I just love the sound. I just like to make noise. I like to make sound. I like organized sound. I listen to electronic music, electroacoustic music. I'm a jazz drummer. I play jazz. I've played in rock bands and country bands, playing drum set. I like just about anything that involves sound, and it just is what has attracted me. to becoming a musician. So I got started late in my high school years, junior in high school, and then I was just so attracted to it. I had so many good influences from my teachers and directors, and my peers responded well to me. They, oh, you're talented, oh, you're doing so well, and I got all of that adoration and good feeling and good vibe from the experience that it's like, oh, this is what I was meant to do. And so then I pursued a college career and all the way up through my doctorate, and have then been teaching now for nearly 20 years at the university here. Just the experience of working with young people, of being involved in music making with groups of people, the community that you create on stage, the hard work you put into a project, and then the ultimate performance of it when it's really, really good is incredibly rewarding.
I'm now speaking with Mark Springer of the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra. And Mark, what is your current role with the orchestra?
Well, I am have been for my entirety of the time in the orchestra the principal trombonist. And about 4 years ago, I also was asked to serve on the board of directors for the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra. So kind of working on it from both sides as a musician, as well as sort of helping with the guidance of its future. I perform a lot. I of course work here at St. Cloud State, not only currently as a trombone professor, but in the dean's office for the College of Fine Arts and Humanities. But in my musical life, I also perform in the Great River Jazz Collective. Out of the Twin Cities, I perform with the Lake Wobegon Brass Band and sub with a variety of orchestras around the state. And so I get a pretty rich musical life. Most of it based in classical music, but that's what I love to do.
So I've been asking everybody else this question as well. Why do you love music?
Oh, that's a deep one. I always have. You know, I was involved in music throughout my life with my parents being exposed to it. And then when I got a chance to perform and be in a band in grade school, and then coming up through high school, it was something I really enjoyed quite a bit. Honestly, I didn't think of it as a life path until I was well into college, and I'd taken some courses that led me to believe that I might be able to do it for real, make a life and a career out of it. So the love of music has always been there, but the reality of it as a driver of the rest of my life, that's not that old. I mean, again, since college. So.
And the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra is certainly an outlet for that. Can you give us a little history about the orchestra and the way it has grown over the years?
Its history goes back well before my time at St. Cloud. I believe it's well over 35 years. It was founded by some of the music professors at St. Cloud State University to provide a large orchestra experience for not only students, but for the greater St. Cloud community. And I think that has been one of the driving goals of the orchestra's mission ever since, is to provide not only musical opportunities for the community, but also educational opportunities, so exposing people to it, young children, and then the kinds of programming we do to reach new audiences and hopefully create an audience for the future for the orchestra. It's for a community this size and the strength of the musicians in its community in this community. It's a really terrific organization. It's a wonderful orchestra. I hope that we are becoming more responsive to what the audience would like to hear, and that they will come back and join us for a concert. I think we do a variety of performances and a variety of selections on those performances that give kind of something for everybody. You're going to hear everything from pops music, movie themes, and holiday-oriented music to some of the real powerful pieces of classical music.
And can you talk a little bit more about the upcoming 2010 season?
Sure. Well, this is a very exciting season. It's our first season with a new artistic director, Andrew Altenbach, and he's programmed a really wonderful season of principally traditional kind of music of an orchestra. The next concert we have coming up is actually this weekend. It's our holiday concert, so you'll hear selections for everything from Charlie Brown Christmas to the Nutcracker to a holiday sing-along, so some audience participation. In the spring, we have a concert devoted to the notion of the dance, the variety of dances internationally and nationally, with performances of everything from Appalachian Spring to Ravel's Bolero. And then I think the most exciting concert for the year is going to be our last one of the season, which is a performance of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which is one in all the time in St. Cloud is not one that I've heard performed in this community. So it'll be, a unique opportunity for St. Cloud to hear one of the masterworks.
Being on the orchestra's board of directors, you would know more than just a little about how the orchestra is operated. In these difficult economic times, what can you tell us about the orchestra's funding?
The majority of the funding, if you were looking at percentages, actually comes from external grants. We have a fantastic executive director that has been really integral to growing not only the size of our budget through grants, but also helping to be a good steward of that resource as we go into the future. Of course, the other main revenue source is an audience, having people come. We have a wonderful and loyal group of season ticket holders who are our regular and ongoing patrons. But we are enjoying right now some growth in people who are coming back to the orchestra, who are seeing things programmed and hearing things that they like, and are joining us again. And so that would be our other main funding source, is having people in the seats coming and enjoying the concert.
And finally, last but certainly not least, is symphony member and principal trumpet, Patrick Thorne. Patrick, how long have you been with the symphony orchestra, and what other musical endeavors do you have going on?
Well, full-time for about 12 years, mostly as second trumpet, but then the last three as principal trumpet. And before that, the principal trumpet position was split between the professor here at St. Cloud State, Al Moore, Dr. Dale White from St. John St. Ben's, and so they usually brought in their own students, so I played part-time when Al Moore was playing. I've got a brass quintet called the Riverside Brass Quintet that plays every once in a while. We also have a professional big band here in St. Cloud called the Great River Jazz Collective, and we're actually playing at the end of February. And then, of course, I play with the Fabulous Armadillos when there's the available horn section. And the KVSC fans will know me as Patrick Hamster from the Shake a Hamster Band.
Ah, yes. Trivia approacheth here at KVSC. So, Patrick, what do you think of the upcoming St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra season?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's exactly what the community and our orchestra needed. There's very, very large show pieces that are very accepted by the audience. Our previous music director was an excellent musician. He programmed really great stuff, but it wasn't audience-friendly. This year is incredibly audience-friendly. We're doing Beethoven 9, which is a beautiful piece of music, and everybody in the audience will know it, and it's just a really joy to hear. We're doing Appalachian Spring by Aaron Copland, which is in the top requested things to hear on NPR, and Bolero by Ravel. So all these huge show pieces that everybody knows, but it's a familiarity with the audience and the music that I think is really going to add to the excitement for the audience, I guess.
And what is your impression of the organization as a whole, as it represents and serves our community?
Well, I'll say a couple things. Like I said, our new music director, Andrew Altenbach, is doing an amazing job of not only generating excitement within our orchestra, but within the community. And he's the consummate professional conductor. And by that, I mean he's incredibly in tune with the music and knowing exactly what he wants us to do. But he brings it in a friendly way or a humorous way, but he's very focused and to the point, and that's really, really something that the orchestra really needs. And I think the audience feeds off that. I mean, they can feel and they can hear the energy, and the orchestra is just raised, even after one concert, to another level. And it's because of the music director, and I think that's a way that we can really grow our audience. And we need to grow our numbers in the orchestra as well. I mean, we need to recruit more players and get the talent level as high as we can. So I think, and also Sandy Netto, the executive director, is an awesome person, and she does a great job with what she's doing. And it's a huge asset for our orchestra to have her. In this economic climate, she's got to find every avenue she can to get more butts in seats to hear us. You know, I mean, we get a significant portion of our funding from ticket sales, and even that, if somebody, you know, in the audience enjoys what they hear, they can pony up more money for adopt a musician or just a donation or whatever it is, and that's a really, really important part of how we survive as an organization.
So, in this holiday season and in the year to come, please remember that the St. Cloud community has much to offer for music lovers both young and old. We here at KVSC News would like to thank the members of the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra for participating in this report. And for more information on the symphony, you can visit their website at www.stcloudsymphony.com or link through our website at kvsc.org. And we will now leave you with a little bit more from the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra, whose concert this Friday will be at 7:30 p.m. at the Ritchie Auditorium on the St. Cloud University campus. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting on arts and cultural heritage for KVSC News, a proud member of Independent Public Radio.